Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Take chance. I love that. The concept, just, it never...
Take chances and try to, probably balancing it all. You know, like still putting your family first, but then also running a company. Like you can do it all, but you just, it's a balancing act. And you're not going to be perfect at either.
Welcome to Game Recognizes Game, brought to you by Apos Health. We've all heard that story. You have an idea, you write it down on a napkin, maybe you sketch out a product on a napkin, but we all know where those napkins end up. But what if you went for it, you bet it all on yourself, and you executed on the idea? And what if that product you sketched out became an iconic fitness brand? Yeah, that's exactly what Natalie Holloway and her husband did. On vacation, sketched it out, and they went for it, building Bala Bangles. Man, an iconic fitness brand. They became legends on Shark Tank, exponentially growing their company. If that doesn't inspire you, what will? Game recognizes Natalie Holloway.
Did you ever see a product that you say, damn, I wish I invented that? Or you had an idea, that big idea that you never execute on and you end up standing on the sidelines and someone else does it? Well, that's exactly what we get to talk about today. We have someone that I'm gonna call a legend, Natalie Holloway. She changed the game that she was in and she invented that product that we all say, especially me, damn, I wish I invented that. She's the founder, CEO of Bala Bangles. Man, this product is what we call a ubiquitous product. It's in every gym, every home gym, every hotel gym, all over the world. I even have friends in Westport who are walking all over Westport with their bangle bands. Her and her husband, Max, they're parents, entrepreneurs, motivational speakers, giving it back. It's such an honor. Natalie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, please, an honor. Can you believe all that stuff I said? Can you believe that?
I can't. I love it.
Do you pinch yourself sometimes?
When I hear it like that, I'm like, oh, is that me?
That is you. And I love memorizing those bios because it's an opportunity to reflect.
Yes.
Right? Because it was an idea. You know, it just starts with an idea. Tell us about that idea and, you know, let's inspire some folks to follow and execute on those ideas.
Yeah. I know, it's just an idea, and then you take steps and it becomes something bigger. So we were, my husband and I, we were just starting.
Max,
yes. We just started dating and we were working in advertising. So we were working at an agency here in LA called 72 and Sunny. And we-
That's a great name.
it's a really catchy name, honestly. Yeah. But we were overworked and like burning the midnight oil. So we were just like, working way too hard, honestly, like pre-COVID. So staying at the office till like 10 p.m., midnight sometimes, working on a presentation. And pretty much
that's what it takes in advertising, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's very competitive, that industry. And so we were working really late one night and he was like, let's just quit our jobs for a little bit and travel and kind of do what people do, the gap year thing right after college, but ours was like late 20s, let's do a gap year. And so we decided to like book one-way tickets to Japan and do a gap year later in life. And so really it was—
Is that called a sabbatical?
It was a sabbatical, that's what we call it. It's a sabbatical, but
It's awfully young to take a sabbatical though.
Exactly, deserve the sabbatical. But in theory, we were like—
Well, the amount of hours you put in, maybe you did.
We were just like, you know what? What's the worst thing that could happen? The trip fails miserably. We come back. We get jobs in advertising again. Maybe we have to take a step back. But we were very much like, what's the worst that could happen? The best that could happen you know, you have an amazing time, you start a business on accident. But it was on that trip that the idea came to us in a yoga class, and we sketched it out
in Japan?
It was actually in Indonesia when it came to us, and we literally sketched out the first product of Bala, which was Bala Bangles.
Yeah.
And that's the one that became iconic and we're known for it. So we sketched out, it pretty much looks like our first prototype.
But what did you see in the yoga class or didn't see in the yoga class that's like, light bulb?
The light bulb moment was, I was taking these yoga classes, Core Power Yoga, and they used dumbbells during the class. And it really, the combo of yoga and dumbbells, like adding resistance, it made for, it still makes for like the craziest, hardest workout.
Sure.
And so that was kind of in the back of my mind, but the light bulb moment was we took a yoga class. It was far too easy. We wanted to level up and sweat more. So we were like, how could you do that in a class? You know, if you're going to a level one, you want it to be a level three.
Sure.
Adding resistance. And so we were thinking very much in the adding resistance. And then we said, oh, wrists and ankle weights. That's a product that totally went away, ubiquitous in the 80s. No one uses
all those aerobic classes.
All the aerobic classes, yeah.
Shorts are too short and the leg warmers.
Yeah, it's like nostalgic. And it's a product that totally went away. And
I'm thinking Olivia Newton-John or Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda, right? Very Jane Fonda.
Right, Body by Jake and...
all of the... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like you think 80s. And basically, we were like, we need to redesign that for the modern world, make it like a fashionable... bracelet, essentially. And then people would wear them, like you're saying, in Westport, Connecticut, walking around. They're not going to wear the old school
Michelle
ones.
And Abby, let's go Westport, Connecticut.
So we're like, let's make them feel cute and bring back a product that really should have never left because we're all very into fitness and wellness. And so let's bring back this product, you know, and redesign it for the modern age.
And you re-engineered it.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be like those same materials. Those are sweaty, stinky,
old. And Velcro and fabric
like
that doesn't breathe.
Thing doesn't work. So we really scrapped all of it and we were like, let's redesign it. And looking back, that was actually a good idea to redesign a product people already knew about because there isn't the product education piece of it. Like people already know what a wrist weight is. So we didn't have to educate them on that, which I think looking back was like a super strength. So like redesigning something that already exists.
I'll tell you, I've been in sports medicine, physical therapy, health and fitness for over 3 decades. And to this day, I still practice. I have this concierge practice and I'm in people's homes and offices. And sometimes I'm teaching, let's say, a stability exercise or something. And I'm like, do you have any home weights? I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, they give me a Bala Bangle.
No way.
I got this.
Amazing. I need to bring you with a suitcase. So you just bring it everywhere.
Exactly. I'm like, there's been some times I'm like, really? Again. The Bala Bangle. I'm like, and that's why I said no one more than me should have invented that
product.
Yeah,
you should have thought of this. 1,000%. Especially 20 years ago.
I usually think about like other products that need to be reinvented and like some of the cardio equipment. And I'm like, and I just, when I got the opportunity to speak with you and like, yeah, she fucking did it. Atta girl. Yeah.
I mean, it's hiding in plain sight. All the gym equipment was just like never changed since the 80s.
None of
it. Like, why?
Or the rubber-coated dumbbells, really?
Yeah, let's make them cuter and better materials.
So you get this napkin idea. You designed it. You thought, let's make it fashion, some colors. Looks like an elastic band, right? And then you designed it on paper. Talk to me about when you first got the prototype. Was that like, wow? Because no one has it yet, right? It's just a prototype.
Yeah, I mean, when we it also changed since the first prototype because we got it and it was wow, like, oh, this is... actually a thing now.
Yeah.
And there's a big moment where it actually becomes a physical thing. So there's that moment, but then it also wasn't functional. It wasn't even weighted at that point. And the band was, it was all wrong essentially. So it was exciting in the sense where it was like, okay.
Swing and a miss.
Now we're on.
It was a swing and a miss. Yeah.
So we had work to do. And actually my sister and I went to China and made final design tweaks that were like crucial to the
Stop there one second because I'm thinking, how do you find a factory that makes something no one's ever done yet?
I know. That was tough, but Max's family is actually from the toy industry.
Wow.
So we had like that first idea of like, they make toys. Let's ask them how they do that. And then they connected us to a toy manufacturer, which made our first prototype. So that's like very much like, you just got to ask around because you do know someone to help you, you know, and
Everyone has that village. You had that village.
You have someone that will lead you on the next step, you know?
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So from the moment you had the idea, you got your first prototype, second prototype. When did you go to market? How long?
So from idea to launching on Shopify, I would say a little over a year. Wow. A little over a year. Prototyping probably took actually a year, so maybe a year and a half or something.
And then you started.
It takes forever.
Viral fairly quickly.
It did. I think it definitely was naturally getting there. There were some key moments, but then the combo of like COVID and Shark Tank happened around the same time, and that's when it like just blew up.
Shark Tank was 2020?
So Shark Tank was, we aired February 28th, 2020, and that was a week before
the world ended.
Literally a week before Tom Hanks got COVID, NBA shut down, and it was like everyone's working out from home. Toilet paper and workout equipment.
And I paid $50 for a bottle of Purell.
Literally. That's the thing. I mean, our product was going.
I'm in the business. Should never have done that.
It's crazy. But you just like, everyone got really desperate really fast.
Yeah. And exercise equipment was, you couldn't find it.
You really couldn't.
You couldn't find it.
It was on Poshmark for like, I mean, the Bengals were going for like $500 at a certain point.
That's fantastic.
Stressful.
It's like sneakers.
It was like sneakers. It was stressful though. Yeah.
And manufacturing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But you got through it. You know, let's talk a little bit about... You went viral through Instagram and social media?
I would say Instagram was definitely like the main
mini
driver.
Influencers at first?
Yes, yeah. Mini. And then we had a couple of, like Melissa Woodhealth was a big, I don't know if you're familiar with her, mm-hmm. but she was like an early adopter of it. And I think she really helped get us off the ground.
Does she call you? Do I get any?
We did pay her, but I mean percentage.
Sure,
affiliate.
I get it. Of course, affiliate. Yeah, it works. And then you get to Shark Tank.
Than Shark Tank.
Let's talk a little bit about Shark Tank in terms of preparation, what they tell you, what to expect. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the rare shows where the sharks themselves try to almost battle. They all wanted to be partners with you. It doesn't happen.
I know. We couldn't believe it. The guy, one of the producers afterwards was like, this doesn't happen. We couldn't believe it. I thought they were going to tear it apart.
And tell me about the preparation for that.
So the
what do they tell you like going in?
You have weekly calls with the producers, and so going in, you're kind of like you're rehearsing your skit, you're pitching to them, you're kind of practicing. But a lot of it is like.
What time do they tell you? How much time do you get? Technically, there's no.
I think
clock.
It's like 5 minutes the skit, and then like an hour of questioning afterwards.
Oh.
So an hour, and then they cut that to 5 minutes. Obviously, finding the most TV-worthy moments and expressions.
So that's nerve-wracking. So it's an hour of questions after a five-minute pitch.
Yeah, you're sweating. You're like, you're just on pure adrenaline. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So to prepare, we watched every single episode and we jotted in a Google Doc. Like,
is everybody listening? We have to listen, okay? Write this down.
How to prepare for Shark Tank.
Every episode.
It's a lot of episodes.
And make your pitch better.
Make your pitch better, but also take notes on... the questions they ask at the end, so that you can be prepared for every possible question.
Yeah, particularly the financial questions.
And that's stressful because you have to do the math on the spot.
Sure.
I can't do that.
The percentages and what your company's worth post-investment or pre-investment. Tell me a little bit about where you were pre-Shark Tank, and did you get everything you wanted out of Shark Tank after the fact?
Pre-Shark Tank... where we were. I mean, we were shipping every unit by hand and a team of two, maybe three people. So my husband, myself, and my sister, actually. And operationally, we didn't know what we were doing. And so what happened is afterwards,
gross sales were what?
$2.1 million when we went on Shark Tank. And like within a year, it grew to 20. So it was like we had to grow up.
Wow.
Quickly
that's
and figure
fantastic.
That out.
Yeah.
And the operational.
That's a great term, grow up.
We had to grow up in business and figure out our operations and like finances and all sorts of things. So Shark Tank really like, we grew up, we made a ton of mistakes, and now we're kind of still figuring out things, but we kind of learned quickly because of that. We had to.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we talk about this on Game Recognizes Game a lot about resiliency, and you have to fail. You will never succeed unless you fail a lot.
Yes.
And you made lots of mistakes, right? But that resiliency, that first year, let's talk about that first year. I mean, how many hours a day did you work?
Well, the first year I was completely bootstrapping. So I was working at my day job in advertising, because we did get back from the trip and got jobs again.
Did you lose your jobs at the other, at the first
place?
Well,
we had to quit.
Okay.
So, yeah. You know, we didn't try to get those jobs back. But yeah, we essentially were working in advertising, which is hard work. And so.
So this was part-time?
Part-time as in like, yes. I was full-time,
full-time
in advertising.
Right, right, right. More full-time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, two full-time jobs.
Hard
right.
to compute the hours, but definitely was like working at 6 a.m. and then after work, but then also during work. I was like basically always working on Bala and skirting back at the day, skirting by on the day job.
Yeah, you still had to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Well, 2.1 to 20 million. I'm going to guess you quit your job at the end of the first
year. Oh, we ended up quitting. Actually, Max didn't quit until we aired on Shark Tank. That's how like conservative we are, which was great because then we were able to pay for our lives with his job then for a bit,
yeah,
and then essentially continue bootstrapping the business so more money was able to go into the business.
And how quickly did those funds come in from Shark Tank after?
Once we
I always wondered, like,
closed.
How
quick.
Long? Quick.
But the due diligence from getting the deal was September, and we didn't close till February.
Okay, so traditional due diligence,
due
back
diligence
and forth,
was
attorneys.
Like 4 to 6 months,
yeah,
back and forth. They even flew out, the accountant flew out. Or his guy flew out and was like, basically told us like our accountants were not great. And so it was just a whole thing. But yeah, it's a long due diligence process. But then once you close, we got the money quickly.
Right. And then you ramped up and accelerated operations. And
well, we spent the money on the wrong thing. We spent it on inventory. But again, made mistakes, learned better.
Tell us about that. What happened? Why do entrepreneurs don't want to spend that kind of money on inventory early on?
Because you can use someone else's money to fund your inventory. You know, like either a
line of
loan,
credit.
Line of credit. Something else should fund your inventory, and then that money should go to marketing or team or scaling the business. We didn't know that. We just paid it for inventory, so there's a lot of things I would have done differently.
Did you get the help you expected from some of the sharks?
Yeah. I mean, they're very helpful.
Hands-on?
Hands-on in the sense as much as we like want or need them to.
Okay, fair.
But
as needed.
As needed. Yeah. But like Mark will give us like really good advice on things we shouldn't be doing that we say, hey, we send him an email, hey, we're going to do this new business venture. He's like, don't do that. You know, so I think it's helpful.
Oh, Marty, I'm falling apart. I feel like I'm 90 years old.
You're not 90. You need these. Apos.
Is it a shoe?
It's a personalized, non-invasive, foot-worn device that relieves pain and gets you moving again. Apos. Precisely what you need.
Now let's talk about husband and wives working together.
Oh, man. Tough.
Right? You spent a lot of time first on sabbatical, right? Mm-hmm. The leave of absence, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Came up with this idea, but within 2 or 3 years, I mean, a meteoric ride. I mean, to major player, creating an iconic fitness product. I mean, every basket in every gym, like I said, every hotel, every group X class, you create an iconic product. And that's a big, big deal. At the same time, working with your husband full time, right? Having a family, raising kids, mm-hmm. right? Am I making you nervous?
No, I'm just like, yep, all in.
Tell me about that dynamic that goes on between husband and wife, because it's not easy.
Not easy. I think it's like, it's weird because it then becomes your normal. And we think about, like, if we have to be separated for a whole day, like I'm going to a shoot and he's doing something else. We're like, we have so much to talk about because we haven't like seen each other all day long. And so I think it's weird to not work with your partner. Like, what would that be like? But I would say it was harder at first and we figured out our like journey by way
of dance,
like,
almost like a
we
dance.
Figured out our dance and like our buttons and how we need to approach each other. You know, like
trigger buttons.
When to not talk about work. Like we'll just straight up tell each other, I don't want to talk about work tonight.
Yeah.
You know, when the other one tries, and I think we just have to be
calling takeout and
calling takeout and trying to talk about work in bed. It's like no, we have to be communicative about when we do want to chat about work, and then we stay in our swim lanes. So we totally have different areas of
business. I like
that
line, stay in your lane. Stay in your swim lane.
Yeah, because then we own our areas of business rather than stepping on each other's toes.
What was yours? What was his?
It's so random across the board. His is, he's designed every product that we've ever launched. So his is product.
Bravo, Max. Fantastic.
product, finance, and legal, and some other things. Mine is marketing, social. I'm like the brand forward face. What else? Operations. So
yeah,
we have our
and you have to delineate all those, right? Yeah. And stay in our lane.
Exactly.
You know? You know, we talk about the after effects of COVID and the pandemic, and I couldn't help but thinking, you were voted by Vogue as one of the top products for 2020. One of the worst years in all our histories, right? I mean, it was just an awful, awful year for the world. Mm-hmm. And for so many people, it was devastating. And here you created a product for wellness, for fitness, for strength that it gave people a solace, you know, in terms of being able to still work out from Zoom to the gym, roll out a mat, do your exercises. It gave them something to still work on their health, right? Mm-hmm. And you made a product that became iconic during one of the worst times in modern history, mm-hmm. right? And I think there was kind of like a juxtaposition there because maybe Bala doesn't become iconic if it wasn't for the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a moment.
I know. Yeah. I do think about that, or even if it weren't for Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because what kind of stories were you hearing from people during COVID? You know, like working from home and...
I mean, when I see people and they find out about Bala, we connect on that, they always have a COVID story. Most of the time, they remember because it was so hard to find that year. They remember how or why they got it. Right. Or they're like, I reached out to y'all and tried to get it.
The knockoff products on Amazon.
Oh, that's a whole other story, depressing story. But yeah, they basically tell me a story of how they tried to get it or couldn't get it. And I think it's like, it's in everyone's brain during COVID of how they tried to get the product.
Yeah, searching for it.
Yeah.
On eBay. Funny. On Poshmark,
eBay, Poshmark,
right?
Not our site.
Was it manufacturing? Was it?
It just sold out. It was like we thought we, you know, needed a certain amount of units, and then that unit sold out that day. You know, it's like demand. We couldn't keep up with demand, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Well, during growth, you've talked before about the concept of unlearn perfectionism, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that. Like, how does someone who is a perfectionist, at some point, you're almost saying, you got to let go, mm-hmm, right?
I mean, my husband's a perfectionist, and I'm always like, no, it's better. My POV is it's better to do things at like 90% or even 80%, but to do more, I think that like builds momentum, and he's like, I want to do everything at 100%. So then you don't get to do as much at 100%. So I'm very much about, right, like...
There's only so much in a gas tank.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I'm very much about letting go of perfectionism and just like launching something, iterating from there.
Yeah, and see what happens.
See what happens. Like, yeah, you can test something and it could fail, but people like won't remember. We launched, no one knows or remembers. Like we launched a small apparel line in 2020 and it failed. You know, so it's like... Right. It wasn't the right time.
And you learned.
It wasn't the right time for it.
Right.
You know, yeah, we didn't have the right customer, yeah, base. But we learned a lot from that. And I think you have to just, and no one's going to remember if you do that fail. Like, we're still like, yeah, a beloved brand. So it's just, I think that you really got to try things.
Yeah.
That's not be so precious about them.
That's a great line because we talk a lot about not trying, right? And sitting on the sideline and we talk to our kids and folks in business because, you know, listen, I talk about this because I've been inspired from folks that I've had the privileges of working with, sports, entertainment, icons of business, titans of industry. And they all have very similar patterns, work ethics, mindsets, behaviors, a relentlessness to them, a curiosity to them. Very few have rearview mirrors. They just look forward 100%. And they just try. They just try. Put their foot in the water like, yeah, I can do this, right? And it sounds like you did that, right? And you still do that. What's the worst that can happen?
Literally, yeah.
Right?
I think that's exactly it. And it's interesting that everyone has that same mindset. It makes sense. I feel like you have to think like that. Otherwise, you're going to be crippled and not try things.
And some people, unfortunately, are too comfortable being crippled, right? And we try to inspire folks, you know, in terms of you have the idea, go for it. You know, you want to get that promotion at work, go for it.
Yeah.
What's the worst going to happen?
Literally, what's the worst that could happen?
Right?
They say no. Okay,
right.
try something else or pivot.
Right. That's right. So any new products that we get to know about in Bala? Did I tell you I got the Bala ring, man? That was pretty cool.
You need the beam. I need to ship you a beam.
I'll take the beam.
I think you'd like that.
I'll take the beam. I'm a little scared about, but.
You can do it. 15 pound or 35 pound. We are about to launch a line for pre and postnatal, Bala Mama. Bala Mama is what it's called,
fantastic.
And it's a line. That's what's coming.
There's your clothing line.
Bala Mama.
And what does Bala Mama do?
So
is it a product line?
It's a product line.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a few products. It's like, there's like a birthing peanut. There's a belly band. These are insider products that you really only find out about when you are like pre
pregnant.
And postnatal.
Sure.
So we made more functional and cuter options.
Yes, for the married men out there, we all remember the pillow.
What was the pillow?
The big pregnancy pillow that I called the boyfriend.
Best. That thing is the best.
That's the one that replaces the husband.
Yeah, it's amazing though, that pillow. Oh my gosh.
I remember them like, really, the pillow again?
It's so cozy.
You know, it's interesting. You almost, you know, as your products evolve and you get to learn about your community, I'm sure you've learned so much from your customers, right? And and they come, they challenge you. They tell you what they like. They probably tell you also what they don't like.
They'll definitely.
Right?
You'll hear about everything. Yeah. I love to listen to it, you know, the positive and the negative. You want to know.
Yeah. Tell me something that inspired you that maybe a customer sent in a little comment section. Anything like, oh, wow, they're right.
They've often given us like valuable, even though it's like the negative stuff is hard to hear, they've given us like valuable customer insights on what they don't like whether something's like not comfortable or like the Velcro wore off, so we made stronger Velcro, like things like that. So you've got to listen to the negative, even though it's really hard as a founder. It's like you don't want to hear anything negative. And then the positive, they've given us like some of our product ideas that we'll come out with in the future. So I think, or colors even, like if like people wanted to see mocha brown, so we launched a mocha brown. So it's really great to like survey and listen to them and they can kind of guide us on our direction.
That's great. we've talked before about being uncomfortable in a space where you have to listen to, it's not negative, right? It's criticism. It's very different than negativity. It's very, very different. And I think as a founder, as a business person, or any point in your life, and you have those honest opinions, you know, and sometimes it's not maybe what you want to hear, but still very different than negativity, right?
Yeah, it's feedback.
Yeah.
But it can come in the form of a criticism.
Hello, everyone. Exclusively for Game Recognizes Game listeners, our sponsor, I'm so proud to be in partnership with Noble, giving our listeners a 30% discount code for all their products that'll help you achieve all your goals. Please go to nobleproject.com/game to receive your 30% discount. That's www.noblproject.com/game.
Let's talk about being a parent. So you have how many kids now? Three?
Three.
Wow. Give me some ages.
That's a lot of kids. 4, 2, I have to think about it like this. 4, 2, and 3 months.
3 months.
Little
My
guy.
My God.
Little guy.
That's fantastic. You're back at work and everything. Thank you for being here.
I'm like not. I'm still maternity. I'm just picking and choosing ways to be back.
Sure. Well, listen, I know motherhood is probably the most difficult, hardest, most challenging. There is no days off. You can't call out sick.
It's intense. It's a very hard job.
But you're doing it. Congratulations. Tell us about that that balance that you strive for. You know.
Yeah, I mean the balance.
You have a big company.
The balance is really hard. I think I'm very, since the kids are little, it's like my main focus is maximizing my time with them. So it's like I try to get a lot of work done when they're napping, for example. You know, I try to like really work around
their
schedules.
Isn't that when you're supposed to be napping? When they're napping?
I don't nap. I wish I could nap, but I can't. No time for that. But basically, I try to get a lot of work done during their naps. And that way I can like be there for them with like, I want to take them on a field trip or something like that. Yeah. Essentially, I try to really like ebb and flow with their schedules.
Sure.
And then there's some days that they're sick and they only need me and I have to completely call out from work. But my main way to do this is like very little meetings. So I try to not have meetings on the book so that I have freedom and flexibility in my day.
Yeah. And I think one day those kids will look up to their mom. I'm sure they already do, but you know what I mean? They're like, wow, how did mom do that?
I know. I'm like, how do people do that with kids?
Right.
But I'm doing it somehow.
Right. And the generations before this, they didn't have all the help that people have now, right? I mean,
that's another thing, the help. My mom is our nanny. So it's like, I never feel. It's like she's like this, you know, helping me parent them essentially.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
The help, you have to have some.
Does she
help.
Charge you a lot?
Ton. Overpriced.
Right, because she'll give you a discount so she can say all of her opinions.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, the opinions. The opinions are really tough.
Back in my day.
It's always back in my day. I'm like, I don't think you did that. Like, we're not as well behaved as you think.
Exactly. You just said a no.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And now kids get away with everything.
Yeah.
As you try to find this balance, I'm guessing Max has the same issue, right? Because, you know, he wants to be a present dad also, right?
Yes, he does. But he takes more of the lead on Bala, at least like while I'm on maternity.
Sure. Yeah.
And that way I'm a little more
swims
flexible
in your lane,
with the
swims
kids.
In your lane a little bit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's going both.
Definitely. I'm like, do it.
Arm Feel in free. One lane.
Feel free to swim in my lane. I would go to the library with my daughter.
That's so sweet. And I can imagine how it's a break from the business and, you know, this crazy ride you've had, but as hard as I was, you know, there's nothing like being a parent, how hard that is too, right? It's two different challenges
two different
in such
hearts.
A short amount of time.
I know, that's what's also nice to have like a little bit of both, you know? You get to be the mom a little bit of the day, you get to be the CEO a little bit of the day, you dabble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It keeps life very, very interesting.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
What would you want your kids, you know, to look back, you know, think about what mommy did and daddy, because right? Obviously both are in it. And what do you want them to, like, because you have so much to be proud of. You know, you have so much to be proud of. You built this iconic product, and it might be too early to start thinking about legacy, right? But the first product you built became iconic. You understand, girl? That doesn't happen, right?
I know, that's crazy.
It's bananas, you know, and I say, atta girl every day. And I'm the guy, I'm like, fuck, really? Bala again, really? And I say that with love and respect, and because it's tremendous what you built, but out of the gate, you built out of the gate. And now you're raising these great kids, and then when they're in the work world, what do you want them to like think about what you and Max did?
Wow, that's a heavy one. I guess I just want them to think that we like took chances. You know, we took chances to like quit our job and we thought everything would work out. And then we took chances on working on this side biz that became Bala. So I think
the side biz, that's fantastic.
It was a side biz at first. And so,
you know, I'll stop you there for a second because so many of us like are terrified to leave our jobs, but you can do both for a short
amount
of time.
And you should, yeah. And I think it actually gives you really crazy work ethic and it makes you like be like, this idea is not going to fail because I'm working so hard right now. It has to work. You know, I'm going to make it work.
Yeah, because failure is not an option.
Exactly.
Right, so keep going. So take chance. I love that. The concept, just, they never...
Take chances and try to, probably like balancing it all, you know, like still putting your family first, but then also running a company. Like you can do it all, but it's a balancing act and you're not going to be perfect at either.
Yeah. You still get excited about everything Bala?
Yeah, I think there was a period where I was like a little burnt out, but then I'm re-excited by it, so yes.
Why?
I was burnt out because we went through a challenging time after COVID when fitness dipped. So that burned all of us out probably. But and then I got re-excited by like some of the products we're launching, marketing and social of it all, doing things like this and panels. Like yeah. I got re-excited. I found like what areas I want to work on in the business, and I like leaned in hard on those. And so I got reinvigorated.
Yeah, we talk about leadership and taking chances, but also staying curious. Sounds like you're staying curious.
Staying curious, for sure. And thinking about like what's next for me and things like that.
Yeah. What is next?
I think becoming like a thought leader in the space and helping mentor other businesses and having that whole side of myself.
Yeah. You built something, you went on the ride, and you know, now a little bit of a roller coaster, right? You're back on going up on the roller coaster, and you got just reinvigorated in terms of motivated, learning what you do great, what you have less interest in, right? And now you get a chance to give back, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that. I love speaking. I love going on podcasts, going to panels, meeting.
This is your favorite, right?
This is obviously my favorite.
Game new podcast. Game.
Yeah. And I think it's just, it's amazing to talk to young entrepreneurs. I see myself in them, and I wish I had like the tools or the connections. And so it's just like, I feel like I can give them like a cheat sheet on what to do, what not to do.
You know, in medicine, we talk about you learn it, you do it, and then you teach it. You know, and that's what
it's
we do.
Like that.
It's exactly that. And it's a marathon, right? It's not a sprint, right?
And it's a roller coaster. Like you said, there will be down moments or years, and then you just persistence and keep going.
If you believe in something, right? We talk about failing and failing and failing. You know, Michael Jordan, the greatest of all time, talks about that. He failed so many more times, you know, than he cares to mention, you know, and same thing. If you don't fail, you will not succeed.
It's so true. I mean, even my husband, and his best friend, they've like, you know, launched companies since they were in, I don't know, high school. Like they get as far as a business deck and a good idea, and then they'll make a business deck, and they did it time and time again, and they were all like good ideas. And then what's funny is then they both launched companies that became successful. So it's like you could consider that like 20 fails before they, you know, really got to the company that worked. So it's just, you gotta fail.
You do, absolutely, and you got to keep moving forward, right? We talk about the leaders not having this rearview mirror, right? Just keep looking forward, right?
Yes, blinders on.
Yeah,
I try to not even like think about the negative unless it can be constructive criticism, but otherwise I'm like ignorant to it.
Yeah, you could ignore the haters. There's no reason, but like, there's a difference. As we talked about, there's a difference with constructive criticism, and it's people who care. Usually the ones who care will give you the best advice, even if it's something you don't want to hear, right?
Yeah.
We're on to our next segment. It's called Moving the Chains, brought to you by Noble. Our fitness brand just dedicated to the lives of their customers and reaching their physical goals, their mental goals, and their emotional goals. And their gear is just killer. It's amazing gear. And the concept of moving the chains, right, is a football analogy, where when the chains are moved, it's a first down. It's a small win in football. And you have enough of those small wins, you're having a pretty great day. And same thing in life, right? And we talk about what is the non-negotiable, that one thing that moves your day forward every day that you have to do.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Okay. I think right now, I mean, when I was pregnant the last year, I was mostly just like walking or doing like light workouts, but right now my non-negotiable is movement. And sometimes it looks like going to a class. Sometimes it looks like getting like a 20-minute form workout in my garage gym. And sometimes
the COVID
it's literally
gym.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's also just like a walk with my ball of Bengals. So I just think just getting some sort of movement in each day and skincare.
Yeah.
Love skincare.
That's great. That's great. I can imagine that non-negotiable before the kids wake up.
Yeah, right. My 4-year-old wakes up at 6 a.m. So definitely not.
Definitely not. At some point, but you got to get it in.
I'm thinking about eventually becoming like a 6 a.m. person, but I'm not that right now.
We'll get there. We'll get there. I promise you we'll get there. All right. Now, I need 2 minutes on the clock. Now, Now we do some rapid fire questions. Sometimes yes and no. These are fun.
Okay.
Don't have to think too deep about it. All right, you go for that walk. What's the first song on your playlist?
Oh, something by Depeche Mode or Talking Heads. I have a random playlist that also has like country in it though. So
give me some songs.
Talking Heads, This Must Be the Place.
I love it. Love it. I love it. You learned and saw a lot about different pitches on Shark Tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any memorable ones?
My friend Doe, it's like edible cookie dough. That was memorable.
His name is Doe?
No, the brand's name is Doe. Her name is Sabina, but okay. Doe. Yeah, that was memorable. There's lots though. I mean, Gia, the non-alcoholic one.
Yeah.
I need to go watch Shark Tank again.
What was one of the hardest lessons you learned as you built your business as a startup?
Hiring too quickly and don't, like, I need to really think about each hire before I move forward with them. Because I think you can accidentally just hire too many people or not the right roles. You have to kind of like hire somebody, take a beat, make sure it's the right role, the right fit, and then keep.
And outsource also, right?
Love outsourcing, yes, definitely.
You don't need
agencies.
Yes.
I love working with agencies.
Multiple
and contract
agencies
people.
Too.
Yeah, lots of agencies.
That's great. Okay, now we're going to talk a little bit about a little reflection. We call it thoughts from 30,000 feet. The person like you, Natalie Holloway, who changed the game that she was in. You changed the game of fitness. If you had the honor of sitting with 18-year-old Natalie, what would you tell her?
I would say keep the momentum up. Keep working really hard because you're going to get somewhere really amazing where you have a lot of freedom. So just keep working hard. I was always a very hard worker, so I would just tell myself, keep going.
That's great. Keep going. Keep working hard.
Yeah.
Hard to tell that to an 18-year-old.
Yeah, for sure.
I can't thank you enough. You're doing it, girl. You are doing
it.
Thank
you.
It's a privilege to get to know you.
This was lovely. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And Bala Bengals, man, they changed the game.
Thank you.
I should have invented it.
You should have.
Great to see you. Thank you so much.
Great to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.